Psalm number 36 is where we are singing this evening. 36, and we shall begin at verse 1 to verse 4. Well, let us read in John's Gospel, chapter 18. In chapter 18, we read in John's Gospel at verse 33, and we're continuing this interview between Jesus and Pontius Pilate. You remember, we were considering it last Wednesday. And at verse 33, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then they cried all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, we pray that our familiarity with the Scriptures and with public worship and the privileges and the blessings of life would never breed a certain casual contemptuousness, a way of thinking in which we take for granted the great message, the great, so great salvation, how commonplace it sounds at times to us. We are familiar with it. We understand its doctrines, its nuances. We understand the fine print and the fine points. And yet it still baffles us and escapes us because we do not know the magnitude of sin. And we do not know the magnitude of grace. We don't know what hell is like, and from which we have been delivered through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know what heaven is like. to which we have been destined through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We know very little about anything, and we confess, O God, that we are undone creatures, that we, each one in our honest inner man, we see ourselves as the chief of sinners. And sometimes we preen ourselves in our knowledge, our advancements, in our regularities, in our long tradition, in our long adherence to the truth of the gospel. And yet always there is the question that Paul poses to these proud, divided Corinthians: who makes you to differ? And so we acknowledge again this evening, O God, that we are no different to any other human creature that has ever lived. And by nature we belong to the fallen sons of Adam. And in Adam all die. And this is why we die. Even as believers, this is still why we die, because we still have the entail of our first parents' transgression. But we do give thanks that we belong to a new covenant. We have a new head, even the one man, Christ Jesus. And as it is true that by one man sin came and in Adam all die, it is equally true that by one man, by Jesus Christ, all shall be made alive. So help us as we approach again the Holy Scriptures this evening to be submissive to the truth, willing to receive with meekness that engrafted word which is able to save our souls. It is always the same message and the same method from beginning to end in the Scriptures. It is faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by God's word. This word in the gospel, the word of Jesus Christ. So we pray for ourselves, we pray for our loved ones, we pray for our enemies, we pray for our rulers, we pray for the world around us, we pray for our neighbors, we pray for churches that agree with us, we pray for churches that disagree with us. We pray for preachers of the gospel who are disheartened and discouraged, criticized needlessly, and feeling the pressure of opposition from the world, but also from the church. And we pray for all such men to be held up, O Lord. You have called your servants. We call upon you now to uphold them and keep them in the task to which they have been called. But we do pray again to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers, not clergymen, not professional religious, but laborers in the harvest of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, that you would send us laborers of a better quality and a better stamp than we are familiar with in our present circumstances. Deliver us, we pray, from mediocrity in preaching, mediocrity in hearing, and grant us the liberty not only to speak, but to receive that spoken word of the gospel. We ask all things for God's glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, we pray. Amen. And we continue in the reading of John's Gospel, chapter 19. And again from the beginning. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therein and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment seat and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee is the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold, your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two others with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so on. Well, we continue in the singing of Psalm number 36. From verse number 5 to the end of the psalm.